It's so amazing how many strengths, how much wisdom, how much genius we have as women. And the more that we align who we are with that, the more that we align our businesses with that, our lives with that, our relationships with that, you're right, the happier and more fulfilled we are.
I'm Sonia Statman, and you're listening to The Feminine Lens. Over the last 20 years, I've had the honor to work with thousands of women around the globe in self-development, in leadership, and in business. Being in the trenches with women has taught me that we have to stop seeing ourselves and the world through the patriarchal lens. I've spent my life helping women look through a new lens, a feminine lens, a lens that honors our innate worth and wisdom, a lens that empowers us with more wealth and freedom. The Feminine Lens is designed to challenge you. It will change what you think and what you know, but it will help you reclaim yourself. And that is the way we change the world. Ready? Let's do this.
Hi, and welcome back to The Feminine Lens. I am so excited for today's episode as I have a very special guest. Her name is Katya, and you're going to meet her, and we're going to chat a lot. She calls herself a brilliant strategist, and what I love about that is she's really helping women to step into their brilliance. She not only does Clifton Strengths coaching, which is strengths has been our topic this month, she also does photography. So it's this beautiful work with women to really help them step into their beauty and their strengths and their genius and all the brilliance of who they truly are. So welcome, Katya. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Sonia, and nice to meet you. This is our first time talking ever, and I'm so excited to be here because, you know, I know that you and I align, I think, in our purpose to help women with stepping into their brilliance.
That's right, 100%. And I think, you know, what's so great in terms of what we've been talking about this month on The Feminine Lens is, you know, it's so amazing how many strengths, how much wisdom, how much genius we have as women. And the more that we align who we are with that, the more that we align our businesses with that, our lives with that, our relationships with that, you're right, the happier and more fulfilled we are. And I can only imagine that you have seen so many interesting things working with women specifically on their strengths. You know, what would you say are some of the patterns or maybe common denominators that you see when you're working with women on their strengths?
I think the most common denominator is when we ourselves do not recognize our own brilliance, our own genius. I see that it happens so often. And thank you for, you know, mentioning that I do both Clifton Strengths and photography, because it's very similar that when I speak to a woman, you know, helping her understand her inner unique talents and strengths, we develop them into strengths once we recognize the talents, the natural talents. Unless I help her, first of all, see it, right? She may not recognize this or own it, right? The same with photography. When I do portrait sessions with women one-on-one, they sometimes have, or actually quite often, I shouldn't say even sometimes, I don't remember a single client that would not have some sort of insecurity about her appearance. And I'm looking at her, you're gorgeous, you know, you are so gorgeous. And it just blows my mind to recognize this, that, you know, again, the common denominator is that we do not see our own beauty until somebody points it out to us in a loving way, and then we will recognize it.
Yeah, I see that also. It's so common. And I think sometimes when women recognize that they haven't really honored their strengths, they kind of beat themselves up. And they think, oh, why haven't I done that? But it's all of us, right? And I think that's partly because of the sort of masculine frameworks or the patriarchal frameworks that have taught us that so many of our, you know, natural innate gifts and wisdom is not valuable enough. I think there is that whole messaging that goes on. But I also find, yeah, it's very common that we often don't recognize our strengths. Mm-hmm. There, you know, it seems like it should be, you know, what we see every day, what we notice as we go through the day, but we honestly just don't even recognize them. They're just hidden.
Yeah, it's because you're so close to it, to be completely honest, is what I am noticing as I'm coaching, specifically, you know, with Clifton Strengths, because I don't know how much you have shared with your audience. Clifton Strengths defines talent as our naturally recurring patterns of thought, feeling, and behavior. The important thing that I always bring up in the sessions is that, you know, Clifton Strengths came about around the same time when positive psychology came about. And they were really trying to understand what makes people great at what they do. And what they found out as part of that research was that we do take our talents for granted because it's so innate. We're so close to it that we are not aware that, you know, the way we do certain things, or the way we think about certain things or feel about certain things, empathy, for example, right? Within Clifton Strengths, it's emotional empathy. We feel everything, right? And so not everybody understands that. Not everybody is, you know, that does not think or do things in that way. And then I hear this happens so often in my sessions where they say, but I thought everybody did things this way, or I thought everybody thought this way. I was like, no, your combination, your talent DNA is your talent DNA. It's so unique to you. That's why it's important to pay attention to it.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, it's funny because empathy in particular, I have a lot of clients with empathy in their top, you know, sort of strengths. And for those of you who don't know, Clifton Strengths is a particular kind of strength test that you can take through Gallup. And so, you know, we'll put a link in the show notes as well if you want to do that. I've had most of my clients do Clifton Strengths test. I've done Clifton Strengths test. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of them have empathy in, you know, their top five.
Yeah.
And they actually hate it, right? Like it's this really interesting thing that comes up where some of the things that are our greatest strengths, we dislike, we think they're bad, we think they're wrong. And part of that's maybe because through that empathetic nature, maybe we've experienced a lot of pain, or we just also think that it's, you know, we feel too much, or we shouldn't have emotions in certain areas of our lives, like business, right? We've been told we shouldn't be emotional in business, which is BS. And, you know, it's sort of that way we've interpreted those filters in our lives, is that strength is bad and we have to minimize it or diminish it or work on it. And, you know, they don't always see that is such a gift. Like, it's such a gift. Have you ever had that experience with empathy in particular?
Yes. So actually, I'm so glad that you brought this up, because this is so important, especially as we're still in the pandemic, and especially as, you know, we've, you know, not all of us, but many of us had to, I mean, we went through the 2020, right? And we lost quite a few great humans while going through 2020, but empathy, especially during this time, is incredibly important talent to look after, right? Because again, within, you know, Clifton Strengths, we define empathy as emotional empathy. You know, there's cognitive and there's emotional empathy, right? So what it means is that people who score high in Clifton Strengths assessment with empathy, especially in their top five, they will feel everything around them, right? I used to have empathy. The first time I took the assessment was 2013. So my empathy was at number one. And it was, so I completely recognize why many of your clients hate this talent, because it was the reason I was completely burnt out. And I mean, it's so long ago now, I can't, maybe I would think to myself, I hate this, right? But I remember, is because I got to this point of burnout and I just could not figure out, like, why am I getting, you know, people are not appreciating what I'm doing, or, you know, all of those different things. So I actually completely shut it down, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm not going to care. But you can't do this.
That's right.
With empathy, especially with this emotional empathy, you just cannot do it. That's another thing about Clifton Strengths, right? It's like you cannot, what I call, suffocate this talent because it's your natural behavior. Like you can't not feel. And so the way I matured this talent, and now it is definitely my superpower, is by quite literally becoming so emotionally intelligent that at this point I can name, right, which emotion I'm feeling, who does this emotion, you know, belong to, and then I decide what do I do with that. And by, you know, who does it belong to, like I can, some during this very tough times, again with the pandemic and everything, sometimes I can't even watch drama movies because I feel everything that's on the screen, right? So I have to like put the boundaries, like, okay, I need to process this emotion and kind of move it out of my body. But I love this talent now. It's definitely superpower because we read between the lines. Mm-hmm. We pick up on things that are not being said. You know, empathy helps you build trust in a split second because of those talents, right? You know what another person is feeling. So yeah, so it's definitely superpower. But I'm glad that you brought this up because it's so important.
Yeah. And I love what you said. You had this kind of comment where you said about caring for the talent, caring for the strength. And what I love about that is like sometimes we think if it's a natural strength, we can ride it into the ground, right? Like there's this idea, right, which I think goes back to kind of the masculine frameworks of if you've got a strength, you can just ride it till the end of the earth. You can just push it in every aspect. You can just go, 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 and it never depletes. Mm. But actually, we have to care for our strengths. Mm-hmm. We have to nurture, have boundaries, be able to understand that we are not machines that can use these strengths into the ground. And I think no one talks about that, right? This is a really different framework because so many people just talk about like, oh, well, they're my strengths. I can just keep going on them forever and ever and ever and ever. And we do get burnt out if we're not caring for them.
Yeah. For sure. And it's actually, there's a conversation that we also always have within this framework of Clifton Strengths is what we call blind spots, right? So each talent has a blind spot. And I'm not sure if, you know, what you are referring to as, you know, where we keep using this talent and then we, you know, burn out from it. The blind spots that I'm thinking about is that basically when you are not aware of your talent as a talent, you may be using too much of it. Maybe again, maybe this is what happens naturally, right? It's like, you know, one of the talents, so empathy is definitely one of the talents that will lead to a burnout really quickly. But then there's another one, achiever, right? It's really, it's like that person, go, 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 do all day long, right? Even on weekends, even on vacation. So it's basically someone who just cannot not doing, you know, like just sit down and not do anything. So
that's not me.
So my achiever is like a little lower on the list. So anyway, but with that talent specifically, when they just go, right? So it's like the talent is also like, it's too much of the talent. And then when it's too much of the talent, it's a blind spot. It comes across as a weakness. Yeah. And maybe this is how, what you were describing, how you can be utilizing that talent. Oh, because I have this stamina and I can do 1,055 things in a day. I'm just not going to be doing them, right? But it's like, no, you need to balance them out.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I do find, I mean, tell me what your experience is, because, you know, I don't do the Clifton Strengths coaching or work around that specifically. I always look at sort of more general strengths. And one thing I've noticed over the years is that sometimes our superpower is also our weakness, in that there's like a shadow side almost.
Yeah.
And so what have you learned about that in terms of strengths?
So superpower as a weakness, I think this is something I just, you know, kind of touched on with blind spots, because so for me, right, like empathy, was at number one in 2013 when I took the assessment the first time. Before I realized it was a talent, I did not think of this as a superpower, right? Now I do, but back then, no. I thought it was my weakness. I was too sensitive. I was too emotional. Mm-hmm. I was getting in everyone's business, you know. So in that sense, yes, it was a weakness. So basically, like, I love to use this metaphor to describe this. So I forget who is a lady who said that, but there's a quote, you know, lighthouses don't run around trying to save boats. They just stand, right? Shine the light and the boats go to that light. Mm. So I was that lighthouse that was running around trying to save boats and being very forceful about this, right? So that was the blind spot, the dark side, the shadow of the empathy, right? It's because you are not... because you're feeling so much, right? You know that the person is not doing well. You want to help. You are trying to help. But you're forgetting somehow that everybody's on their own journey. You can't just shake them and say, this is what you're supposed to be doing, right? There are other ways to help them come to that realization. But again, like I was that lighthouse running around trying to save boats. So in that sense, yes. And I see this, I mean, again, within, you know, Clifton Strengths methodology, we use the word blind spot, right? So it's like, yes, it's the shadow of each one of those 34 talents has a shadow, has a blind spot. And so it's like always an important thing to do within the session is to kind of point out those blind spots, those shadow areas of every superpower, because unless you have awareness of why you're doing or why are you burnt out, you know, unless you have that awareness, you can't mature the talent. You can't turn it into a superpower. So,
yeah, I love that. I think it's interesting. What have you noticed or what do you think about understanding our strengths and genius and how that relates to business and how that relates to what we're producing or what we're doing in our business? You know, what have you kind of noticed in your experience, the correlation between those?
Yeah. I am glad you asked this question because this is also an important one. We should all strive to find, you know, define our zone of genius, what is and what is not in our zone of genius, because it's just such an amazing place to be, right? It took me, I'm now 44, right? It took me many years to get here, but now I know what it feels like. And now that I know what it feels like, I can't allow anyone be outside of that zone, right? And what it feels like is you have the ability to regenerate your own energy, because you do things that you absolutely love doing, right? You do things that you absolutely love doing, and it gives you more energy. And you want to continue doing that thing, right? Mm-hmm. And the way to figure out what is or is not in your zone of genius is by looking at your strengths, right? Yep. And what I also see from other entrepreneurs who are, you know, far ahead of me, that those who have figured out how to operate out of their zone of genius, out of what they love, out of what they do best, they scale, they grow so much faster, and they're happier than those who do not follow that idea.
Yeah, so 100%.
In business, it's super important. Even our, you know, mentor, right, through whom we met, Rachel, she plateaued at that revenue of, what was it, 700,000? And only when she got the, somebody suggested to her, you are not in 100% alignment with your talents, with your natural talents, you're not in your zone of genius. She was like, well, but I'm running the successful law practice. But then when she thought about that, right, and now she is, you know, she passed that plateau very, very quickly. So, yeah. So there are examples. There are so many examples out there.
There is. And I think, you know, I love what you said in terms of regeneration of energy, because I talk a lot about energy management. I think that's such an important piece of like our business and our life. And yeah, when you're doing what you love, when you're in your zone of genius, you're actually regenerating energy versus depleting energy. And, you know, I don't know how much experience or how many entrepreneurs you've worked with, but I know sort of in my experience in the last 20 years, what I find is most people are operating 80% out of their zone of genius and only 20% in their genius, if that. And, you know, so my goal's always been to kind of turn that around. What are the things they really love doing? What are the things they get energy from? So that 80% of their business is actually operating in their zone of genius. But I find it's so interesting how many of us, you know, and I know I spent a lot of my career operating outside of my genius, you know, thinking that's what you had to do, thinking that, you know, I had to try to compete, thinking I had to be really broad. You know, there's all these kind of mindset issues that we hit instead of really recognizing, no, the more I'm in my lane, the more energy I have, the more people are attracted to me, the more that I'm doing what I love.
Yes, exactly. Because you start radiating that energy, or I don't know the words for it to describe right now, but it's I guess it's the idea of law of attraction, right? Like when you are doing what you love, it's very difficult to hide that you are happy, you know. That's right. And people want to be, they pay attention, right? They start paying attention because it's like, what is she doing? Like, what is she? Why is she so happy all the time? But I think what you're, you know, what you're describing also with, you know, when people operate in 80% outside of the zone of genius, right? There's, what's this guy's name? Gay Hendricks, right? Yeah. Who wrote the books on the zone of genius. And I love his definitions and I love the way he describes this. But he talks about how difficult it is for people to get out of their what he calls zone of excellence,
yeah,
and get into the zone of genius. And the reason he explains it's so difficult is because when we're in a zone of excellence, everything seems to be working fine. We're making money, we can be in a good career, and we are brought up to believe that, you know, in order to be completely happy and successful, you have to grind, right? So it's like, with those beliefs as we grow up, it's hard to imagine that you can be doing something that you absolutely love, not getting tired or burnt out from it, and be making money. This is like an unreal, you know, idea, right? Yeah. It's the opposite of what our parents told us. So that's why he's talking about this, right? Like, it's so hard to get from zone of excellence into zone of genius. But again, yes, once you meet somebody who knows what it feels like, there's no going back.
That's right. 100%. And I think it's so freeing, mm-hmm. right? There's so much freedom when you finally understand the difference between your zone of excellence and zone of genius. I talk about those things a lot. And I think, you know, we get good at the zone of genius and oftentimes we have validation for it. You know, that's one, I think for our zone of excellence, actually, I think that's one of the hard things is we get validation, you know, we get praised, which is one of the reasons why that gets reinforced. Our zone of excellence is good. Everybody's approved it. We're approved.
Yes.
And our zone of genius may be in something that nobody has approved us. You know, we haven't had the same approval. We haven't had the same success. We haven't even tried our zone of genius and understood what that is. But I think we get reinforced in that zone of excellence really early on. And then, yeah, it's a total mindset shift. It's an identity shift. It's a, you know, having in some ways to have faith. I mean, that's what I see a lot in the businesses that I work with. As they start to recognize what their zone of genius is, taking the step into that, committing to that, is almost a leap of faith because they have so much proof about their zone of excellence.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And yes, I'm glad that you brought up the idea of, you know, getting approval and external validation, because what I find is that, sure, you can have all of the external validation. Again, you can be making a good amount of money. Externally, everything is great and beautiful, and you will you will have a smiley face on your face, right? Going wherever you're going, whatever like presentations you deliver, whatever you're doing, right? But then when you're there by yourself at home at night after that wonderful day, and you know that something is missing, right? Something is missing, and you may be still exhausted and all of those things, right? And there's also, like, I had a conversation recently with someone. There's like a difference between burnout and creative fatigue. It's two different things, right? But anyway, so for your listeners, I would, you know, encourage you, like, if there are days when you are, you know, again, everything is great, right? Like, I'm making great money, but then you feel like something's missing. I would encourage to sit with that. What is missing? And what is that leap that you're afraid to take? What is scaring you?
Yeah, I love that. It's a good contemplation and important, right? I'm so into evaluation. I think evaluation is such an important process of our business. It's an important process of our life. Being able to take stock and really feel what is working and what isn't working. Because I know for myself too, you know, things have changed. Like, I've grown there, you know, 20 years of being in business, you know, what I enjoyed 10 years ago is very different than what I enjoy now. And there is this, I think some of the strengths are still fluid throughout that time period, but they show up differently, right? As I age, as I mature, as my business matures. And so there's that important piece to really stop and look at, am I happy now? Am I not happy now? What's aligned and what needs to be realigned?
Yeah. Yeah. Because we do grow. We do change, or our values change. And yeah, so that reassessment, I think, is important at every stage, right? As we grow. Because we need different things also as we grow, right? Do.
What do you feel like? I mean, you know, I love sort of the way that you framed yourself, where you're like this brilliant strategist, right? Like, what do you think women most need, or how can we support ourselves to see more of our brilliance? Mm. Because I feel like the brilliance is there, right? It's the same way I talk about worthiness. We are innately worthy. We're born worthy. We're born brilliant. But we don't see it, right? We don't recognize our worthiness. We struggle against that innate worthiness. We struggle against our innate brilliance. You know, what are some things you've seen that, I don't know, can help us look at our brilliance and accept it, you know, and own it?
This is a very complex question.
Of course.
This is a very complex question. You know, I'm going to approach it from a different angle. What I've been thinking a lot recently, and this is actually you may find it somewhere in my copy, where I say, I'm on a mission to help women develop an unshakable belief in herself that nobody ever can tell her otherwise. And the reason it's so important to me, and the reason that I phrase it like this, is because I've seen so many times when, even though she is brilliant, even like you cannot not see it, right? We have so much talent, so much intelligence among us, so much beauty. And then some, can I cuss?
Yeah, go for it.
And then some asshole comes along, right? And says something, one or two words. And then she goes into this, like, this spiral of repeating the nonsense and all of the things. And it's like, no matter how many times you will reiterate to her, you're brilliant, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, you're this and that, unless she really believes it, she's not going to believe you, right? And so for me personally, the reason I'm so passionate about Clifton Strengths, and I, you know, I got acquainted with this in 2013 myself, right? I really truly believe that it's like actually a shortcut to your zone of genius, right? Because it will, because again, remember how I said, it's your natural recurring patterns of thought, feeling, and behavior, right? So what I find sometimes, and I'm still working on this concept, what I find sometimes is that we definitely should be following energy, like going and doing what gives us energy and what feels good, but we cannot shut down the mind, and mind, you know, comes up with a lot of words that we're either repeating to ourselves or, you know, like repeating from somebody else, you know. And so when I work with women with a, you know, Clifton Strengths coaching container, you know, we do talk about energy, but I also always help them reframe the words, right? Because again, all of those talents also, especially when they're in excess, right, they can be perceived as weaknesses. And because they can be perceived as weaknesses, we get labeled with certain words. Empathy would labeled with, you're too sensitive, you're fragile, stop doing that, why are you crying, you know. Achiever or command talent can get labeled with, you're so bossy, why are you pushing me to do these things, you know. And then so they start, you know, repeating this to themselves, and then they try to squash that talent. And again, we can't squash our naturally recurring patterns of doing things and feeling about things. So I got sidetracked, but like, to how to help women to recognize their own brilliance.
I love it.
Just please figure out what is in your zone of genius. Find repeatable patterns in that, right? And then when somebody, if there's anyone who is criticizing you for what you're doing in your zone of genius, question their assumptions, right? Because it's like, and this is where I come with, you know, like unshakable belief in yourself. When somebody comes to me and says something that is against what I believe about myself, I have this kind of cognitive dissonance for like a few seconds. It's like, why are you saying this to me? You can't say that to me. Like, it's not true. You don't know me. Just, you know, move along. And so I want cognitive dissonance in that sense for every person out there, especially women.
Yes, I love that. That's so funny. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so important that we do that inner work, I think, to integrate and to heal. Because I love the visual, you know, the visual of thinking of the unshakable belief in myself, right? Standing in that place where nothing phases me, right? That is absolutely my wish for every woman as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we've got to do the inner work in that way. We've got to be and that's the other thing I think about, stepping into your zone of genius or stepping into your strengths. I mean, the other benefit to that is almost we're reinforcing our brilliance, right? Whereas when we're constantly trying to like be in our zone of excellence, or we're, you know, trying to reinforce our weaknesses, which I think a lot of women do as well, then we're almost constantly reinforcing the weakness, right? We're reinforcing our lack of energy. We're reinforcing how our innate self isn't good enough. But being in our zone of genius, practicing that over and over again, we're reinforcing how amazing we are. We're reinforcing how brilliant we are. So that seems important too.
Yeah. And we set a great example for other women, because the bragging about like, oh, I worked, you know, like I'm so exhausted at the end of the day. Let's not brag about that. Let's brag about, you know,
I'm so happy.
Like, yes. That I think, yeah, that's another societal, you're exhausted and okay, so
it's like a measurement almost.
No.
I agree. Well, I think a lot of things we measure, right? Money, like I think money's great. I love money. I think money's awesome. I want women to make money. I want there to be wealth. And making that the measurement of success is unfulfilling, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, how much we worked, or, you know, how much we got accomplished today, or, oh, I finished my to-do list. I always tell women, you know, we're never going to finish our to-do list. That's okay. Like that's par for the course. Let's just enjoy that. But I think, yeah, there's a lot of measurements to which we look at ourselves and, you know, try to measure up to, and they're just not good measurements. Like they're just not something that will provide that fulfillment, that freedom, that happiness, that joy, that aliveness that we can experience.
And it's so actually interesting about money as a measurement. I've seen that too, and it's actually true for myself. Whenever I myself or somebody is just like following money for the money's sake, it's not fun in the end, right? But when you're actually doing the things that you love, you know, the things that are within your zone of genius, money will follow. Because again, it's the law of attraction. That's how it works, right? You are vibrating at a certain frequency, right? You attract people to yourself, you attract client to yourself, and you eventually, you know, attract money to yourself. So yeah, money as a measurement or as a purpose is not necessarily a fun one, I would say, to have. But again, like when you're focusing on the energy and what you want for you, right? And all of the wants can be, I mean, all of the wants require money, right? So it's this circle, right? You are following what gives you joy, what gives you pleasure, you know, in your femininity or whatever that is. Everything will follow. Money will follow because that's how it works.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, this has been an awesome conversation. You know, I'm so glad, you know, I've been able to kind of play with it and go back and forth. Is there anything that you'd like to share with the listeners? Would you like to tell them where they can find out more about you before we wrap up?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's very easy to find me. I'm katynicholas.com, N-I-C-H. But the last words, again, please find your joy, find your zone of genius. You know, if there are things at the end of the day that feel off, whether it's somebody said something or, you know, there were frustrations from the things that you've done during the day that you are not enjoy doing, you know, think about the ways to not do them.
Yeah, I love that. It's beautiful. All right. Well, thank you, Katya, so much for being here. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And I will see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to The Feminine Lens. If you're a woman in business and tired of trying to operate through the traditional patriarchal lens, check out my group program. You get the chance to apply these podcast topics to your life and business. You'll find coaching, support, and new perspectives on how to grow your business with more alignment and freedom. You'll be surrounded by amazing women and transform the way you feel about your value, your voice, and the gift you are bringing to the world. Just head over to soniastatman.com. All right, see you next week.